Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I was getting ahead of myself there. We're going to be doing a piece with Evelyn O'Rourke on student accommodation, but that's not until later on in the programme, because right now, the last day of July, we want to consider, before the figures for each and every single day of the month have been totted up, how scientists are already saying that this is going to be the hottest month ever on record. And we're going to take a bit of a look back at everything out of the ordinary that has happened on Earth in the recent past. Joining me to talk about this is climatologist Cathal Nolan. Cathal, thank you very much for joining us. What does it mean, the hottest one on record ever?
What we essentially mean when we talk about the hottest one on record ever, Philip, it's really talking about the, I suppose, historical data, the reference points that we can look back on in terms of climate data over the course of the past number of centuries at this particular point in time, whereby we can categorically say that the temperatures recorded overall in terms of across the global picture is on record, the highest that we've seen to date.
As long as meteorological records have been compiled.
As long as meteorological records have been compiled.
But it's also the case that scientists are saying that this may be the hottest year ever or month ever in 120,000 years. How do we make an assertion like that credibly?
Well, I suppose the data that we use in terms of going back into what we would call maybe deep geological past, in terms of looking at climate data over the course of the past, let's say, hundreds of thousands of years, potentially back as far as millions of years ago, essentially what we can do is we can take a look at the sediments, let's say the sediment structure in various lake systems. We can take a look at, let's say, some of the chemical properties that exist within, let's say, air bubbles that are trapped within ice core records in parts of Antarctica, parts of Greenland, that have a very good climate record going back as far as maybe 500,000 to 800,000 years. At times, so we can say very accurately as to what the composition of the climate was at that given moment in time. And that, of course, leads us to be able to look very accurately in terms of emissions data at the moment and project forward to see what the potential increases can be. So
it's certainly then an unassailable fact that it has never been this hot while there have been this many human beings, 8 billion of us on the planet.
That certainly is the case. And I suppose if we look back at our species, let's say over the course of the past 250,000 years, certainly we can say without doubt that the climate that we're experiencing at the moment is without question the warmest that it has been for that particular period of time.
There's an interesting piece of bedrock science that we should think about here that informs all of these storms and all of this melting and burning and overheating and so on. And that is the Earth energy imbalance. What is that?
Well, I suppose the kind of basics and fundamentals of climate change, and I suppose with global warming, when we consider it, essentially what we're talking about when we consider the Earth's balance in terms of energy, it's related to the amount of, I suppose, incoming radiation that we see in terms of shortwave radiation and the amount of longwave radiation that escapes back out into the atmosphere. In a perfect scenario, we see that balance essentially equating to zero. But what we've noticed over the past while, and certainly I suppose for the past 100 years, is that the balance that we're seeing at the moment is it's about 0.5% in a positive sense. So we're keeping an extra 0.5 watts of energy per meter squared. Over the course of the past decade or so, that has subsequently increased to 0.75 watts per meter squared. So essentially what we're seeing is a significant increase in terms of the amount of energy that's been stored within the Earth's balance. And as such, this is what's driving a lot of the particular extreme
weather. Because the sun's energy drives absolutely everything. It is the major energy source for everything that happens on the planet. So if we are on balance overheating and not radiating as much of that heat back out into space, it's no wonder that our weather and our climate should start changing.
Absolutely. And I suppose even looking back at those most recent figures, it's been an increase in 50% over the course of the past 14 years. So that in itself is a significant increase in terms of the amount of heat and energy that's trapped within the Earth system. And I suppose even some of the most recent studies that have been conducted at Professor James Hansen, who was, again, I suppose, a pivotal in terms of testifying to Congress in the late 1980s with regards to climate change. Very recently, he's published a paper which is yet to be peer reviewed, it must be said. But essentially, he believes that we've entered into a new, let's say, age in terms of climate change, given the supercharged nature of the increase in temperatures over the course of even the past decade or so.
So broadly speaking, in the course of the last couple of weeks and months, we've had four heat domes sitting around the globe, one over North America, one over the North Atlantic, one over Europe and one over Asia. What are the individual events that these have given rise to?
I suppose really looking back over the course of the past year, we can say significantly that there has been an increase in terms of the amount of heat waves that we've seen occurring right across the globe at any given moment in time. You mentioned correctly these four particular heat domes. Essentially, those heat domes have developed on account of a result of anthropogenic climate change due to the weakening of the jet stream, which essentially it's been able to trap these heat domes under these anticyclones across the globe. We've seen significant events.
An anticyclone is a big system of high pressure, which we would usually associate in this country with good weather.
Correct. We would typically associate that with good weather. I suppose looking at the individual events, certainly I suppose we've obviously dealt quite extensively with the impact of the heat wave in Europe. We've seen temperatures pushing close to the all-time record with temperatures of 48.2 degrees Celsius. The European record, of course, is 48.8 degrees Celsius recorded in 2021. But certainly across the globe, we've seen parts of the southern states, let's say within the United States, have seen significant heat. We've seen temperatures in China breaking all-time national records at 52.2 degrees Celsius. Earlier on in the year, there's been significant heat waves in parts of Central and Southeast Asia, the worst, I suppose, recorded on record in terms of the significance of the heat there. And I suppose the communities that have been disproportionately impacting has been in that particular area of the world has been some of the most vulnerable communities. I'm thinking in particular maybe the Rohingya Muslims as well in Myanmar that have been disproportionately impacted. We've seen death tolls in the area directly from heat as increasing by, I suppose, by the number of 500. But it's really been quite significant in terms of those particular heat events. But also, I suppose, looking at some of the alternative events which have occurred as well, even back to the start of the year, we saw the impacts then of Cyclone Freddy, which had a death toll of over 1,400 parts of East Africa and into parts of Madagascar.
This was an amazing event because it was a storm that lasted for 5 weeks.
Absolutely. It's a phenomenal period of time when we think of the amount of energy that's needed to be able to ensure that a storm is able to progress and maintain its strength for a period of 5 weeks. It's one of the longest storms, I think.
And it hit the north of Malawi and they thought, OK, that's it. It's over for us. And then it came back and it hit them 3 weeks later and killed 1,200 people in mudslides and so on. And Malawi is landlocked. It's a good bit inland, sheltered by Tanzania and Mozambique.
Absolutely, and I suppose that was one of the paradoxes, let's say, associated with that particular storm, is when we see these tropical cyclones, they obviously have a tendency to form over water. That's the essential ingredients that are needed, is a sea surface temperature above 28 degrees Celsius. So we can already see this phenomenal amount of heat that's needed to maintain these storms. But the fact that the system itself, let's say, impacted coastal areas, it then drifted back out to sea before making a second swipe. And as you said, in Malawi, obviously the amount of precipitation that was contained within that particular storm led to significant landslides, mudslides, and obviously increased that death toll quite significantly.
We have seen disproportionate cold in certain parts of the world as well, haven't we?
We certainly have. I suppose at the start of the year, in January into parts of February, in Afghanistan, we saw temperatures as low as minus 32 degrees Celsius. Again, certain parts of Afghanistan would typically see very cold conditions, quite a mountainous country, of course. But again, I suppose it's really a combination of, let's say, the human tragedies in the sense that the societal structures that exist within parts of Afghanistan, obviously in terms of the poverty, in terms of famine, in terms of the just lack, I suppose, of basic housing needs in terms of heating that are able to, let's say, shelter you from the worst of these particular storm events. It is disproportionately on a global scale those who are least capable of dealing with such climate disasters that are increasingly being subjected to the very worst outcomes of climate change.
Obviously, we are talking about super turbocharged climatic events that are going on here. But what is your view as a scientist of some of the language that has been used to describe it? I'm thinking particularly of the pushback against UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres saying that the world, the seas are boiling right now. Does that kind of superlatives, or choice of superlatives in the language sit comfortably with you?
In terms of climate change, and I suppose we need to look at this more in a holistic sense, in terms of, we talked about, let's say, some of the past events being able to go back to in terms of 250,000 years in terms of human existence, the present rate of warming that we're seeing has reached a point where it hasn't been this hot, let's say, for the past 3 million years. In terms of the increase in temperatures that we're seeing and the rate of increase, there was a period of time previously known as the Paleocene, Eocene thermal maximum event, which occurred 55 million years ago. during that particular period, it was considered abrupt climate change in terms of the increase in temperatures. The rate of temperature increase during that particular event was 0.8 degrees Celsius every 1,000 years. Over the past 100 years, we have seen the temperature increase by 1.0 degrees Celsius. The significance of the changes that we're seeing on a global scale do certainly warrant the words that we're seeing and the strong language that we are seeing from, let's say, the IPCC and from the UN. It's an attempt, it's a plea, essentially, for global leaders to be able to take on board the science, which has been crystal, really, for the course of the past three decades now. And we're still seeing an increase in terms of CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions, leading to an exacerbation of the situation rather than an improving situation.
We know, don't we, that the last time the world was this hot, there were alligators in Trafalgar Square. Something that has been proven by paleoarchaeologists. OK, Cathal Nolan, climatologist, thank you very much for joining us this morning with that.
Text 51551, today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.